97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, what's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 6:01 on a Wednesday night. Getting you set for Sixers basketball right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. 7:30 tip. They host the Boston Celtics in a two-game series, both here in Philadelphia. No Jason Tatum, but the Sixers' full squad seems to be back outside of Seth Curry, who has to sit for a little bit longer because of conditioning, trying to get himself back into basketball shape since he's been out for so long, a few weeks now, away from the team. The team missing a game on Sunday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That had to be rescheduled, but they're back at it tonight. We're going to lead you into the game. Brian Seltz with the pregame coverage starting at 6:50. We're out of here at approximately 6:45 to hand things off to B. Seltz. And we're going to talk some Sixers. We're going to give a little bit of a break to the Eagles right now. Talk a little Sixers as we head into this game tonight against the Celtics. And right now, the Sixers, sitting at 9-4 on the season, are tied with the Milwaukee Bucks right now in the Eastern Conference, in second place behind the NBA Eastern Conference leading Boston Celtics. Yes, you heard that right. Boston, who also has missed some time game-wise because of the COVID protocols, the health and safety protocols, missing a few games, and Jason Tatum being one of the players who's out right now because of that. Boston is at 8-4. Right now, because of their winning percentage at 667 in front of Milwaukee and Philadelphia, 643, Indiana at 615, right behind the Sixers and the Bucks. 9-6 are the Brooklyn Nets at 600. So the Sixers right now have an opportunity to knock down the Boston Celtics with these two games that they have both tonight and Friday night here in Philadelphia. 7:30 and 7:30 start, I believe. 7:30 on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. I think, as I take a peek at it here quickly with the 76ers and their schedule, 7 o'clock tonight, and on Friday it is, in fact, 7:30. Yes, I'm correct on that one. So my thing is tonight, as we lead you into the game, and we'll definitely go in the post following the game as well. And I just had a quick, it's crazy because passing through, seeing Mike and Ty talking to them briefly, I had a quick session with both of them. You know how we have our sessions whenever we get frustrated with the Sixers? There's one thing that's frustrating many of us. Had a quick session with the guys. Now I'm good. Now I'm going to move on to the positive thing that I want to ask you guys. And this is it. As they are 9-4 right now in the season, I want to ask you this. If I said the Sixers are 9-2 when this happens, what would it be? Well, I think most people would understand what I'm asking. They're 9-2 when Joel Embiid is on the floor. They're 0-3 when he is not on the floor. He missed the game against Cleveland when they lost that one. He missed the Denver game on that Saturday because of the COVID protocol, where they were scrambling to have enough players after the Brooklyn game, where Seth Curry tested positive on that day, which was the 7th of January. And then the Memphis game, where he was inactive because he did not make the trip for the two games against Memphis and Oklahoma City back to back. So they're 0-3 when Joel Embiid does not play. They're 9-2 when he does play. And so far this season, he has been phenomenal. I think we all can agree on that. Right now, averaging 25 points, 11.5 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 54% from the floor, 39% from behind the 3-point line, 84.5% from the free throw line. And why I bring that up is because in the 11 games, 9-2 that they are when he plays, he has clearly been the best player on the floor every time, right? Every time. He has been fantastic. The one that really stands out is the Miami game, the first one where they got down after being up so big. They got down, they trailed. He took over, 20 points in the third quarter. Right? Ending up with 45, 16, 5 steals, 4 assists, playing 39 minutes and 20 seconds as they went into overtime in that game, winning that one. And he was tremendous. The 38-point game against Washington, where they needed all of it, and he was dominant, flat out dominant for the team, right? 38-8. Then he has a 40, 14, and 11 against Charlotte, where you didn't need him but so much, where he played 25 minutes because they didn't need him. 19 and 14, 29 and 16, 29 and 14, 27 and 10. You understand where I'm going. 24 and 11 with Joel Embiid as he has been out there on the floor. So he has the 9 wins, 2 losses, 8 double-doubles in the time that he has been out there in the 11 games for the 76ers that they have played. Look, we've been asking him to take that next step, to step up and be that franchise guy. Less talking, more action, more work, and getting the job done out there on the floor. We've seen it a number of times. Game 1 against Washington, where they were, again, winning, and ultimately Washington came back, took a lead, put him on his back, led them to victory, 29 and 14 in that game, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. 45-16, again, against Miami, and they needed it down the stretch because they needed him to hit a game winner. They needed him to knock down some free throws. They needed him to rebound. They needed him to block shots. They needed him to stay out of foul trouble because they did not have the necessary people available to play a game in which you thought they would win without him on the floor. No, all he did was go out there 16 of 23, 13 of 13 from the free throw line. What I am saying is he has been fantastic this season. He has been, in my opinion, and others, seeing it nationally, an MVP candidate so far in this season. And I know, for him, only 11 games, 9-2, understood. But we know when we see something. And for me, I'm seeing a different Joel Embiid. Not that we haven't seen this before. We are seeing it consistently now in the games that he has played for this team, the 11 games. So, as I look at what he's done, win games at the free throw line, hit a game-tying field goal to send it to overtime, dominate a quarter, dominate an entire game, put the team on his back at the free throw line, and is arguably their best free throw shooter. I know Seth Curry is one of that's tremendous. Tobias Harris also shoots at a very good clip as well. So as much as we're bickering, and we're going to stay away from him for right now, Ben Simmons, for not doing the things that we want to see him do in elevating his game when Embiid is not playing, when the others are out due to COVID, and all of that, Embiid getting the triple doubles, I mean getting the triple team, getting double teamed every time, and they're doing it at very good angles where he can't get out of it, less turnovers, where, yeah, he's had four or five turnover games so far this season, and they're frustrating, but he makes up for it as well with the other things that he is doing. So, with all that he is doing right now, and we know at the end of it, we don't care about 50-win seasons anymore. Well, I know I speak for myself, and I think a lot of people feel the same. We don't care anymore about the 50-win seasons. That should be a given at this point with the talent that they have and led by Embiid and Simmons. Don't care about getting to the first round. You need to get to the second round and now advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. These are the benchmarks that we have for them now, and not just 50 wins. We don't care anymore about, oh, Joel Embiid made the all-defensive team and Ben Simmons as well. Nice accolades, well-deserving. We don't care because we expect something else from you. That's a given from those two players. He was frustrated that he did not make the all-NBA team last season. He was disappointed that he did not make the all-defensive team a season ago, and he has been disappointed the last three because Gobert has gotten a defensive player of the year, or someone else has gotten a defensive player of the year. That has ticked him off. And what I have liked so far from him is less talking, more action from Joel Embiid. And in order for them to get to where they need to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I heard Mike and Ty talk about this last week, if they got there, right? If they got there based off of all the changes that they've made, adding Green and Curry, Maxey coming in, a new role for Shake Milton, right, et cetera, on and on and on, bringing in Doc Rivers and a new coaching staff. The idea is to get to the NBA Finals. But like we always talk about, how did it happen? So if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and they are competitive and lose in Game 7, and while we'll be frustrated in the moment, I would think that many would not be so ticked off and disappointed because how did it happen? Did it happen again where it was a shot that not any of us really want to see something like this again with Kawhi Leonard and all of that. But if it happened like that, it's not a disappointing season. I feel like right now he is in the MVP conversation to start off. You know, it's way too early, but there's 72 games. So we evaluate all of these games very closely as the season is going on. Right now I have him third behind LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and then it's Joel Embiid. I was looking at a Bleacher Report thing earlier where they started their way too early voting and they have Embiid number one in the MVP voting as the MVP so far through the 11 games for the season that he has played for the 76ers, 9-4, the 13 that they have played, 9-4 right now, and you know where they are with the 13 games that they have played, and he has been tremendous. My question to you as we start off and we get ready for the game against the Boston Celtics, no Jason Tatum for the Celtics tonight. Kemba Walker is back from his injury. Jaylen Brown has been tremendous so far this season. I ask you, and we have Jay there and others that we're going to get to shortly here before we get to the game. Is Embiid ready to take that next step to lead this team where they need to be? He needs the help from others. That's what a team is all about. You need your supporting cast to do their job. Seth Curry doing way more than I thought he would do as a starting shooting guard for this team. Danny Green showing a pulse more often than not, like I thought early on in the season. Tyrese Maxey stepping up in a role that I didn't anticipate him having so far, so early in the season. Nothing that the other players aren't doing more so, obviously, because of the health concerns with COVID-19 and people missing games. Shake Milton firmly sitting in a place as a sixth man, knowing his job and coming out there and performing it at the best of his ability, where he has led the team in scoring the last three games, I believe, with over 20 points, the 31-point performance that we know of for sure. He has been also very, very good in this Bleacher Report too early voting, third in the sixth man voting, Shake Milton for the Philadelphia 76ers right now. Obviously, the one that I left out, Tobias Harris, looks good, has some really good games. And then Ben Simmons, disappointing thus far, has had nice games, but has had more frustrating moments for us as Sixers observers with this basketball team. So with all of that, they are still 9-4. And all of those losses, I'm not pinning it on them. The Cleveland one, yeah, that was, what are you guys doing losing by 24 to the Cleveland Cavaliers so early? That was ridiculous. The Denver game, I can't get too mad at that. The Atlanta game also, I look at them and they just simply have trouble with the Atlanta Hawks for whatever reason it is. Lloyd Pierce knows them. Trae Young gives them problems. On and on and on with that matchup that really frustrates the 76ers. And then the Memphis one, he was inactive in that particular game. So as we sit here and we talk about this before we get things started, and then they lost to Brooklyn where he had 20 points, 12 boards. He really had a stretch where he started to take over, but it was too little too late in his 29 minutes and 52 seconds. Is Embiid ready to simply carry this team where they need to be? The supporting cast will do their part. Hopefully Ben Simmons elevates his game as the season goes along. As frustrating as I am with him right now, like many others, he started off this way last season, and then he picked up his play a big time where he again made the All-Star team, was voted on to the All-Defensive Squad first team, and then also being selected for the first time as an All-NBA player third team for the season. So you only hope that he is going to improve under the tutelage of what Sam Cassell and he are working on, and it translates to the games, and he starts to be the aggressive Ben Simmons, is the best Ben Simmons that I always talk about with this squad. So, with all of that, though, I think I'm finally seeing the Embiid that we all want to see consistently going into each game every night, where we're sitting there and we can count on him to be a double-double problem, a defensive menace, and carry them to a victory, however he does it. So I ask you, 610-632-0975. We can talk about the game, what you want to see from other players as well. Obviously, we leave it all open. But to focus on how good Embiid has been, does he have that look for you where he's ready to simply carry this team to where they need to be next? Right? Next, which is the Eastern Conference Finals, and then hopefully the NBA Finals. Because the East It's going to be tough with Brooklyn, Harden, Durant, Irving coming back tonight. Boston still being very, very good. Milwaukee not counting them out. Indiana playing better than we expected. There's some good teams in the East. Is he ready to elevate them and take them to the place that they need to be next? Eastern Conference Finals and hopefully the NBA Finals. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 6:45. Sixers Celtics at 7 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So we'll talk all of that with Embiid. Anything else with the team that you want to see? Obviously, Ben Simmons, you need to see some improved play from him. His assignment tonight, Jaylen Brown. What are you going to do? You're not going to go score. What are you going to do in shutting down Jaylen Brown and his 20-plus points to lead the Boston Celtics? Can he do it and still give you decent enough offensive production? 610-632-0975. Let's take to the phones right now, get this thing started in Williamstown as Jay tips it off for us right here on The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Devin, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, long-time listeners, Devon.
Yeah, I just want to mention, I think we messed up huge not getting James Harden and comparing him to Ben Simmons. I think if you think about it, he's going to give you like 0-3 the whole year while this guy is giving you 4 to 5 three-pointers a single game.
Yeah, but, do the three-pointers define his game, though?
No, I'm saying if you just think about it, just not even looking at the three-pointers, if you think that he's going to give you 30 to 35 points,
yes,
12 assists, and probably like 8 rebounds, when Ben Simmons is going to give you like 12, 14 points, and sometimes like the other game he had like 5 points. He's not consistent enough for us.
I'm at the point now, Jay, where I would have made that move based on you know, the information that we got. It was a lot to give up all the first-rounders, the pick swaps that they would have wanted as well. Parting ways with Tyrese Maxey would have been tough to do that. But look, he's a rookie. He might be very, very good in the future, and hopefully that's in the Sixers uniform. But I would have made the move. That being said, it did not happen. So you have to move forward, man, and you just have to take it for what it is at this point. And hopefully Ben Simmons elevates his game like he did a season ago when he got off to the slow start, picks up his play, and becomes the Ben Simmons that, outside of the outside shooting, right, that he still becomes that all-around player to do the things to help lead you to a victory.
Yeah, because I think Embiid could give you that 35 points, but he's just missing that next person to give him another 25 to 30 points, because some games Tobias Harris in the playoffs, he was missing also against the Miami Heat.
Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Against Boston.
So, like, even if we could get Bradley Beal somehow, he's a two-way player, great player.
Yeah, I don't see Washington doing that. I don't see Washington making a move for Ben Simmons for Bradley Beal. I'm sorry, man. Thanks for the call, Jay. I just don't see that happening. I'm pretty confident right now that won't happen with Bradley Beal. I don't think that's enough of a return for the Washington Wizards at this point, with Bradley Beal putting up the points overall that he has. And then the fact that that's all you have with no Russell Westbrook at this time. And then you're going to want the picks. So I just don't see that happening right now, Jay. Appreciate the phone call. 610-632-0975. And as far as the Harden thing goes, yeah, it's going to burn you for a little bit, especially when you go head-to-head with the Brooklyn Nets. And seeing what he's done already with the triple-double, getting 32 the other night, double figures assists, Kevin Durant gets you 30. They're just tremendous. And then seeing what Kyrie Irving is going to add to this team when he is back out there on the floor tonight. I'm curious to see, and I heard, again, Mike and Ty talking about this, and we all think, you know, pretty much along the same lines. And I was actually talking to my cousin about this, where you're going to get a certain amount from those two, Harden and Durant. You've already seen it where they're going to give you 70. And now you add Kyrie Irving, where he's going to give you his 20 and then his assist. And he's going to be a killer where he has the dagger at the end of the game to close out the game. And you don't know what to do now, because then Joe Harris is going to give you 18 because he's going to have so many open looks. So it's crazy. They have to stop people. But that's where, Jay, that's where Simmons comes in. How can he neutralize as best as possible Kevin Durant and not letting him go off? You can't stop him. My favorite player to watch in the league, Damian Lillard, those are my two favorite to watch, with, you know, outside of the obvious. And you can't stop him. And Ben Simmons can't stop him. You have to try to you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. And that's what you have to hope for at that point. And what I am worried about when you talk about those games, Jay, is Tobias Harris. Sorry. In those games against a team like the Brooklyn Nets, where it's a big stage, a big moment, and we're going to see the Brooklyn Nets here in a couple of weeks when they take on the Sixers here on Saturday, February 6th. I have that one circled, obviously. I just ran it off to you easily. February 6th on a Saturday, 5 o'clock start, 7 o'clock start, pardon me. I'm ready for that one already. I'm ready because I have my eye on both Simmons and Harris in that one, for real. 610-632-0975, Sixers, Celtics, 7 o'clock tip right here on the Fanatic. Two-game series that's going to be here in Philadelphia tonight and Friday, both here on the Fanatic, obviously. And we all lead you into that one tonight. Brian Seltzer at 6:50. Tom McGinnis on the game call at 7. Our question leading into the game, outside of your normal points of talking about the Sixers as we lead you into this game, Joel Embiid has been tremendous, an MVP candidate. Have you started to see where he's different this season? And is he that guy right now that you look at and say, okay, this is the one that's going to carry you and elevate you to where you need to be, Eastern Conference Finals and then the NBA Finals? 610-632-0975. Greg, we'll start with you when we get back. Everybody else that's there, we'll get to you in our final segment before the game right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 6:31, 97.5, The Fanatic. We have about 15 minutes before we get to Brian Seltzer at the getting ready for the game. 610-632-0975, Sixers Celtics. First game of a two-game set here in Philly, in South Philadelphia. So let's get to it. 610-632-0975. Embiid, does he have that look where he's ready to just carry this team like we want him to? Let's go to Greg in Delaware to start off this segment here on The Fanatic. Greg, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Good, good. Well, hey, kind of piggybacking off of a little bit what other guys were saying, I think Embiid is ready himself. I mean, he's showing he's in shape, which is what probably every Sixers fan wanted the most. Shooting less threes. He's actually dishing it out at a double teams a little bit better. I think it's a question of, are these shooters going to knock down the big shots at the end of games for him? Mm-hmm. And is Ben Simmons going to be afraid to attack the rim because he can't hit foul shots? So that's how I'm looking at it. I think Embiid obviously will keep getting better, and I think he's ready. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, does Tobias show up at the end of the game, or can Daryl Morey just, you know, keep making sure Doc has him as part of the game plan, get his stats up, and maybe make him part of a trade and get him out of here. But want to see your thoughts on that.
Well, the interesting part is the reporting, of course, Keith Pompey reporting that at the time they had already been told, at least the agent told their players, to be expected to be moved, both Simmons and it was either Maxey or Thybul. I can't remember exactly which one.
Yeah, I heard that report too. It was Thybul. Yep.
Yeah, so yep. They were already anticipating it, and then, of course, it didn't happen. Ben Simmons appears to be thrilled that it didn't happen, according to Mark Spears of The Undefeated, where he was happy about that. So with that being said, as much as they talk about how much they love him, doesn't mean that he's off the table, right? That he's untouchable, right, if they throw the right player, right package at them. In this particular season with, you know, the new guy in charge with Daryl Morey along with Elton Brand making the call. So I am curious to see how it plays out. And again, Greg, as good as Embiid has been, and Simmons got off to a slow start last year. He is frustrating right now, frustrating for me as well. But he did get off to a slow start last season. Does he pick it up even more going forward?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, that's really only my only concern at the end of the games, is that that random afraid to go to the rim when he has a wide open lane. But like you were saying, his defense really can't be matched in the league. There's nobody that can cover randomly a 6'1 guard and then pick up a 7-footer like Durant seamlessly. So he's definitely worth the money. You know, we got Dwight Howard playing great defense. We finally have an actual rim protector behind Embiid. So when he's coming in there, you know, he's not worrying about losing 10 points every single time because we had, you know, whoever back there. So I think, you know, the biggest thing is going to be Tobias. He's that X factor because I don't know if he's worth $190 million. And he better start hitting some shots.
No, he's not worth that money. No, he's not. So he is not worth that kind of money. So I can answer that one for you right now. He is not worth that money. But Greg, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. And while he has been good, Tobias Harris, he's not worth the contract as we know at this point. Untouchable is Ben Simmons. I wouldn't say so. Do they like him? Absolutely. But I trust what Keith reports, and we saw others. I believe. So the crazy part is Keith has that one, which is tremendous work by him. The Ringer's Kevin O'Connor, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but he does get information. He had Maxi Simmons and other picks in the deal for James Harden, and that's what it was. But clearly, Ben Simmons was the central part outside of the picks, central part of the package on the way to Houston for the 76ers, James Harden returning here. 610-632-0975. Steve in South Philly checking in with us. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Devon? How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. How about you?
I'm good, man. Real quick, let's have a moment of silence for the biggest loss in sports this year, and that was No Fan Fest 2020.
Yeah, man. It's crazy because we knew in August, obviously, when we were doing the shows, it was upon us. And you know how, like you pointed out, we talk about it and promote it from, what, May, June, all the way up to August, the final Saturday in August.
And what a great time.
It's always a fun time, man. Always a fun time. Unfortunately, we did not get it this past summer. Hopefully, we can get back together, Steve. Hopefully, we can get back together in August.
The last one was great with AI there. That was awesome.
No doubt, yeah.
Real quick, on my Eagles points, very, very quick. You know, it's a shame that the organization had this kind of brass to let go of a Super Bowl winning head coach. I can't believe it. Now, I know Dougie P has made some controversial decisions in his career, but you're talking about a guy that went to the Super Bowl with pretty much the same team that we've had for the last, you know, 3 years now, and goes in with a backup quarterback and catches us a W. You know, I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not the biggest fan of Carson Wentz. There's an old saying, heroes are made, not born. You know, I don't think heroes are made at North Dakota State, in my opinion. You find those kind of guys at Alabama and Clemson.
Well, you know, sometimes it works out that way where you can still find that diamond in the rough, and he clearly had the necessary tools coming in for most people to have him in that top five as a top five selection and one of the top two quarterbacks off the board, which he was. And the Eagles did a lot to move up for him. It looked like it was working out, and unfortunately it has gone the other way for them, Steve. So we'll see where it goes. And I think we're all anticipating to find out, number one, who the coach is going to be, and then what's the plan once he does speak to the media with the quarterback position, starting with Carson Wentz.
Oh, absolutely. And you're talking to a very biased person when it comes to Carson Wentz issue. And I'm also a very sad person for, you know, watching my beloved Sixers let the best scorer in the league slip away into their conference. And I have to sit here and watch Ben Simmons shatter his ankles every night with his sudden stops to the lane and then pass out of a wide open 10-foot jumper. My question for you with the Sixers would be, do you pursue Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine?
I just don't think you give up
Ben Simmons.
For Zach LaVine, no, I don't think. First of all, they're going to ask for him, as they should, but I don't think that you would have to. Steve, thanks for the call. I don't think that you would have to give him up in a package at the end of the day. As much as I like Zach LaVine, I just don't think that is on par with what I would want to do when it came to Simmons if I'm making a move.
Yeah, get the best package possible.
And Bradley Beal, no. I don't think Bradley Beal is coming to Philly. I just don't know. I don't know. Look, Houston, they clearly like Ben Simmons. I don't know where Washington is right now, although I have heard, just my understanding, they would not take Simmons back in a deal for Bradley Beal. Let's go to Chuck in Vegas next here on the Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, guys? What's up, Don? How you doing, man?
Good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, not too much. Just getting ready for this game tonight. The Eagles, I don't even want to talk about them, man. They don't even deserve our attention.
That's why we decided to start off a little bit differently tonight since we're going into the game.
that's right. Great minds think alike, my friend. And, you know, I love what Doc Rivers has done so far. You know, just looking at the last couple of years, it was just kind of chaotic out there on the court. He's restored some kind of order on the court. It just looks like just a much better brand of basketball under Doc Rivers. Joe looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, at this point in time, there really shouldn't be any criticism of this guy. Look, people have been harsh on him in this town. I get that. He's done some foolish things. He's warranted criticism, but right now there's really nothing negative you can say about the young man. He's just a pleasure to watch. He's given it everything he's got. And, he's one of the very best in the league right now, man.
Yeah, right now he has been great. He has been really, really good. And that's why I wanted to throw this question out there to you all about, and I know it's early. I know it's 11 games for him, 14, pardon me, for the team overall. But look, when you're playing great, you're playing great. And that's what he's been doing. And we want him to maintain this level of play. Chuck, he's playing back-to-backs. He's playing 30-plus minutes. He was leading the team in minutes per game before COVID hit the team and forcing them to miss games. So it's encouraging to see this from him right now.
And as far as I can see, you know, he's in the best shape of his life. He's getting down to that block when he wants to. Quickly, and just real quick before I head sure. out, just a couple player props I'd like your advice on here. I'm looking at Danny Green over under 9.5 points tonight, and Tobias Harris, I'm looking at 17.5, which is lower than usual.
Yeah, normally they have them about 18 or 19. Tonight they have them at 17. I don't know if that is because of the fact that Embiid is coming back and I don't know, but 17, I think that 17.5 of Tobias is a good number. Danny Green, he has played well over the past couple of weeks, and you've seen he's got 9 points in the first quarter, and a few of them based on what he's getting as far as the open looks and the volume of shots he's been getting because so many players have been missing. Danny Green is always a tough one for me, but Tobias Harris, I would go 17.5, yes, on that one.
All right, man. Let's roll it up in a parlay and have some fun.
That's well,
right,
good man. Luck, man. Thanks. And hopefully you do definitely hit on that. Hopefully they hit those shots for you tonight. Chuck, we'll talk to you later, man. Thanks for the call. Nat Marlowe, great job producing, man. Really appreciate it. Coming up next will be Brian Seltzer getting you set for Sixers Celtics with the pregame coverage. Sixers Celtics, first game of a back-to-back two-game series here in Philadelphia at the Center. Starting 7 o'clock tonight, Friday 7:30. So we're getting you set for the game right here. We'll be back in the post after the game, so make sure you join us. Dee Lynam will join us as well to give her thoughts immediately after the game once we wrap up post-game with Brian Seltzer. So enjoy the game, everybody. Talk to you afterwards. Hopefully another win, the 10th win of the season, as we go in the post right here on the Fanatic. Enjoy the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.